Well, kids, you're dismissed. Thank you, Kimberly and helpers. And can you turn me up just a little bit? Thank you. So I don't have to yell at you. Is that okay? Is that good? Are you all ready for a fresh awakening? Yes, amen. Well, every Sunday should be a revival Sunday, should be a Sunday where we receive from the Lord Most High. And I would encourage you today to just really seek your heart out and what it is that God desires to do in you through His Spirit today. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of reading today. So when you stand up, stretch, get it all out, and I'm just kidding. There's not. I'm losing my. Are you going to stand, or am I going to have to say it again? I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of feeling what Abby feels when she says, "I don't know if they're with me." I'm like, "Girl, they is with you." And now I'm like, "Well, maybe they're not. I don't know." Are we back? All right, well, let's go to Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And I hope that most of you know the pre and the post, but we're going to be looking at the life of Stephen in the next couple of weeks. And here is the scripture, God's word for today. And Stephen, full. Now, here's what I want you to think about, church, as we go to the end of this idea of full. Now we can relate. Why? Because we're talking about a man, okay, after Pentecost, who is full of grace. Full of grace, full of power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And Stephen, full of grace and full of power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. God, today, God, just sweep through this place. Let your Spirit just sweep through. God, let it take our hearts and awaken them to your glory, to your power, to your grace and your mercy. And God, let the depths, the darkest, the most closed off places receive a fresh word from you today. God, we come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. And today, this is your time and your place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk first. I'm just going to shut this off. Y'all are like my kids. I'm talking to them in there. This week, I don't know what happened to Janae's hearing, but it got affected. I don't know from what, but from something, wasn't it? Yesterday, we were in the yard. I think she asked me the same question. I answered the same question. Then we got in the car, and she asked the same question, but in a different way. And I said, honey, I said, deal with her, because it's about to get ugly up in here. I said, I got to sing, preach, pray, teach. I say, I'm not even looking at her right now, so I already answered it all day long. But sometimes we're awakened. Now, I don't know if bacon wakes you up. Does bacon wake you up? Oh, goodness, I'm telling you, I wish I didn't love bacon, but I'm telling you, when she gets it in the oven in the morning on a Saturday morning, nothing's going on, and the smell starts to what? It starts to wake you up. If you don't like bacon, then you got a problem. And so anyway, bacon is a good part of our life, and we love it. But it awakens us. There are certain things that awaken us. I feel like when it starts to feel like spring, don't you start to feel different? There's just something about it. You start to go outside, and you're starting to feel the breeze, and things just start to happen. I don't know. There's a lot of things in life where it's just like you have these aha moments where you're awakened. I think sometimes we have aha moments where we're awakened on the other side of things. When we see ourselves in light of godly people. When we see ourselves and all of a sudden we realize, well, they're talking about. You ever walk in, maybe in your family, and you hear like your wife saying, now, honey, you know that he's got, that should awaken you. Why, right? Because people around you are noticing that you aren't, and I think all of us, in some moments, have had those moments where it's time for us to awaken and become aware. And so Stephen, he was awoken. He was awoken by the Spirit of God. I want you to think about Stephen for a second. If you don't know much about him, You will know, you can go to the next slide. At that time, it's estimated that there was about 25,000 new believers, meaning 25,000 people that had come to know Christ in this very short time. Now we know that on Pentecost, there was thousands that came to know Christ, and then it kind of continued. And we're right around there. So this is an exciting time in the church. I don't know what happened, but it should still be an exciting time in the church. We're tracking salvations because that tells us, all right, the kind of work, the kind of spiritual work that we're doing outside of these walls. And so what was happening is people were being saved and they were coming to know Christ, and about 25,000 at that time. And it says that Stephen was full of wisdom. He was full of wisdom. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. We also know that he was a Greek. Now here's what's so interesting, and here's what I want you to get. Stephen, out of 25,000 people, they decided, because there was a problem, they were not taking care of all of the people the way that the people thought they should be cared for, and those that were speaking the word, that were presenting the gospel, that were seeing the people come unto Christ because of their ministry, said, we can't stop the ministry of proclaiming the gospel in order to do this, so we've got to come up with people that are full of wisdom, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and they discovered seven people out of the 25,000. I thought about this week. What if for board elections, and our board is a good board, so I just say this, but in general, right, across the world, if people just chose people because they were full of grace and the power of God, right? So here we see Stephen singled out. And he was singled out with six other people. And I don't know about you, but I feel like it's pretty significant. I don't know if you've been chosen for something before, and it's out of a big, big group, and it just gets narrowed down and narrowed down. We have students that have gotten scholarships, and how did they get them? Because it started off with what? A big group, and then they narrowed it down, they narrowed it down, they narrowed it down. Then all of a sudden, they got chosen. Well, why did they get chosen? Because somebody saw something. Church, we are chosen. And so somebody better see something. And Stephen here, out of 25,000 people, seven were selected, and he was full of grace. He was full of power. And when you translate that power, it's talking about the power of God moving through him. And today, church, as people that are full of grace and full of power, where is the fruit? See, we're so busy about things, we forget where the fruit is. There was some kind of fruit that was coming from Stephen, and this wasn't about politics in this day. This was about who is most filled with the Holy Spirit. See, church, this was not what we think of. This was like, okay, out of the who's doing the most things for the... So let's talk about what did it mean. And I was fascinated, and this is kind of a setup for the weeks to come. But talking about this full of grace and power, John Wesley said it was a dominating force. Well, when you're a dominant personality, what do you get? A lot of people around you that look at you and say, oh, that's that, you know, headstrong. I say when people say my girls are headstrong, hey, as long as they're headstrong for Christ, then go for it, right? Then I'm doing something right. If you're headstrong for Christ... But if you're headstrong because the carpet isn't, or you're headstrong because your kid isn't, or you're headstrong because you just are headstrong, because you like to be the one in the group that says, well, let's think about, maybe you're headstrong because you're the naysayer, and you're proud of it. But see, this wasn't Stephen. His dominant force in his life, John Wesley said that the dominating force in his life was that he was all consumed with Christ. All consumed. Now, we could also say we know a lot about Stephen, even though there's a little bit in the Bible about him, because he didn't last very long, right? He kind of got the name as the first martyr. Imagine if we would become martyrs, and I don't mean go to death, but be willing to go to death, day in and day out. It was consuming. It consumed him. It was in control. What's interesting, too, is that he ends up being the one out of the seven that gets martyred first. Which tells us that even out of the seven, what? He was most willing. So you take 25, y'all good with fractions and math? I'm not. My daughter brings it to me, and I say, honey, if I told you once, I'll tell you again, math is not my, pass it on to your mother. She wanted all these kids, so just go that way, and I'm just, keep shifting them, you know. I like to just call it like a, you know, they come to me, where's your mother? Where's your, it's like that. They come outside when I'm mowing, get out from the mower, go to your mother. I turned the mower off how many times yesterday? About 100 to break fights. And they come into the front of the mower. I'm like, do you watch those shows where the legs go this way and the arm? Have you ever watched that commercial where, like, they don't show you what happened, but an arm is? And I'm like, girls, you don't walk in front of the. I didn't say it like that. I was like, girls, you know, you're going to get hurt. I want you to think about this, though. You go from 25,000, you break down the math, you go to 7, and then you've got 1. So it's really 1 out of 25,000. He was the one that was willing. And see, the question today is, are you so full and overflowing that you're willing to be the one? It was that thing that was contained within his spirit. And that thing was the presence of the Almighty God that had just been unleashed on the earth. It was a fresh work. It was a new work. What's incredible is there is still a fresh and new work happening, because the Spirit of God never gets old, never gets tired, never gets wasted. He was filled with faith. So let's talk about this for a second. I want you to think about this in a personal way today. I want you to say, does this describe me? This is the question. Because the very attributes of Stephen, the very willingness of Stephen should be the very attributes of us, because they were the attributes of who filled him. And that is Jesus. So those same attributes are available today. Full of grace means, and I put the words in there for you to have some fun, it is where blank is joined with blank, blank, and mercy, which all combine to create a spirit full of grace. Now, church, we can put a lot of things in there, right? The biggest one is our judgment. Now, I don't mean having judgment about what's good for you, not having judgment about, but having judgment as in people that say, well, I don't think I could go to church because I'm afraid they're going to say, you know what, there's a day that all of us, or we could have all said the same thing. This is the grace, favor, and goodwill of Christ exercised together in humankind. This is like what he wants for you to, he wants to meld this into your being. He wants to meld this into who you are. He wants to make it so that you're just as willing, full. You ever feel full? Gracious, y'all awake? It is only 9:40. Is that clock right? It's 9:41, right? Yeah, I don't know. I felt full yesterday because after we mowed, cleaned the house, what else did we do? Laundry. Disciplined the children, then disciplined the children. She said, let's go to Kaplinger's. And I said, honey, I ain't going to Kaplinger's. I don't have the time. I'm stressed out. And she said, no, let's go to Kaplinger's. And usually when she says to go out to eat, because she never wants to go out to eat, we didn't actually go in. We sat in our car and had people watch us eat. But anyway, okay, did you know? This is total side note. We went there. We usually get them nuggets before we go in. The Wendy's had a sign that said, we don't have enough help. We went over to another one. They said, we don't have enough help. We're closed. Then we went to one other place, and I said, honey, I told you the Lord said I should be home studying, and here we are. I didn't quite say it in that nice of fashion, but I said, here we are, driving all over. This is the Lord telling us we shouldn't be here. But here's the thing. What we're full of, right, is what dictates to us. See, when we're full after Thanksgiving, do you feel like running a marathon? Do you even feel like going to church? No, you feel like going to bed, right? See, what we're full of is what dictates our next. What we fill ourselves up with dictates our feeling full is a dictator. So what are you full of today? Are you looking at the life of Stephen and saying, could I be the one in humility that would be chosen because of what I am full of? And we know this well. Grace is the unmerited divine favor which is shown through gifts, graces, and benefits. See, we like benefits. We like gifts. We don't like the process. We don't like what it took Stephen to be full of. Because see, when he was full of, he was minus of. See, when he was full of, he was minus of self. He was minus of his desires. He was minus of status. See, in order to be full of something, we have to be minus of. Let's go to power. It actually meant here a force, meaning somehow this translates as there being a force around, in, and working through him. Tremendous, right? I think when you look at the way, and we will look at the way that he passes away, there is something so significant about the way he passes away, which should be an encouragement to you today, and it should be an encouragement to you in the days to come, that there is, I doubt that you're going to be stoned. And if he can be stoned in the way he was and keep his eyes fixed on Jesus, there's something there for us today. And if it came through the power, then you have that power. And see, it was an actual force. It was coming from somewhere else, and it was working through and in him. What's interesting here is it's referred to as the opposite of a spirit of cowardice, which means, and I never really thought about this, but it talks about in the translation that he wasn't a coward. We can't be cowards as Christians. We have to rise. We have to stand, even when it's standing against the person that's next to you. When you're full of the grace, it's going to come in a way that's beautiful. It's going to come in a way that reflects the life and action of Jesus. But he wasn't a coward, meaning he was willing to go the extra mile and be the first martyr. Think about both words translated refer to external powers affecting internal abilities. The external coming in and affecting the internal. How much of the is coming into the, think about it. Church, we got to wake up. The length of one's life has nothing to do with the impact. So let's talk about wonders and signs. Y'all like wonders and signs? Oh, goodness, you should, right? It's exciting. The whole Bible is a book of wonders and signs. I want you to think about this. The way that his wonders and signs are spoken of, it actually is referring the same way as the wonders and signs of Moses in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament. It doesn't even reflect what the apostles did. Now, we know the apostles did what? Wonders and signs. But this here was different. Stephen was spoken of in relation to Moses, like Moses, right, who walked through the, and who had a fire, and who had, come on now, church, and Jesus. This is the Stephen. This is what, see, this is where we are today. Think about signs and wonders are God's supernatural, miraculous power breaking into the natural world of man and doing what is impossible by natural physical laws. That's just your traditional definition. Meaning you can't do it if you let your mind get involved in it and say, you know what? Well, it's not going to make sense. It never made sense, all the things that Jesus did. What's crazy here, though, and what's kind of disappointing is that they don't include the signs and the wonders that Stephen did. It actually just includes and says, hey, what Moses and Jesus did, he did as well. Well, wait a minute. That means that Stephen moved some physical things, but he also moved some spiritual things. What that means today is if there's some physical things in your way, signs and wonders. If there's some spiritual things in your way, signs and wonders. Let's look at what it says in John. There are 7 signs by Jesus in the book of John. Jesus turned what? Water into wine. Jesus healed the royal official's son. Jesus made the lame to walk again. Jesus fed the, come on, Jesus walked on the, Jesus healed the, and Jesus raised from the dead. So when you look at this, and it relates to the 7 miracles in John, spoken of the same way. I don't know. I've sat all week and thought, okay, God, okay, how are you going to? And then he began to refresh my mind. And I began to ask her questions and say, so this really did happen, right? Yes. He really did when we asked, it came. Yes. He really when we, yes. Man. I think we have to start becoming the people that are okay with signs and wonders. But in order to do that, we have to be people that are okay with pushing out so he can push in. We have to be the people that say, okay, revival isn't the end, it's just the beginning. You say, well, Pastor, we can't see people raised from the... Well, guess what? Everybody, if you'll let them, you're going to be raised from this death that we're wearing. This ain't the death that he intended us to wear. We're wearing it. We've got people this week that are going to have it operated on. But it isn't his final intent. So no matter what, we're going to be... Church, I believe he is feeding us in a way. We've got things. Wait till Father's Day. Now, moms, it's not that we care about you less. It's just Dollar General was generous to us, so we're going to be generous to you, fathers. And you're going to bless your whole family with it. You're going to be grilling on Father's Day with a little bit of meat and some of that kind of stuff. So look forward to that. But I'm telling you that what we're finding is that when we ask in faith, we receive in faith. When we ask with his will in mind, well, if it's his will, then he has a way of... And Stephen, full of grace and full of power, was doing great signs and wonders. Meaning, he didn't wait until he was elected to be the seven. Meaning, he wasn't just all of a sudden, well, now that I've got the position, well, now that I'm that person in the church, I'll start. It said that that's just who he was. Let's take a journey here and look at Peter and John. And here's the key to today. There's only one way to have power. And I mean the kind of power that comes through the Holy Spirit. And that's through, and you've heard this a million times from this pulpit, but that's through intimacy with Jesus. What's crazy is that I thought about this and prayed about it, and I said, Lord, we know this. And he said, then why isn't everybody doing it? In fact, yesterday as I prayed through this, I said, God, some of this is so basic. And he said, then why are my people not getting it? Why doesn't everybody leave here? Think about this for a second in Acts chapter 4, and write this down in your notes because I want you to go back to it. There's a key statement here, verses 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. Now isn't that great? People around them said, oh, they're not educated. In fact, not only are they not educated, but they aren't trained. You ever do that in the church? Well, they ain't going to teach me because they don't know nothing, right? Well, I'm not going to their class because you've heard them. Man, what if we came alongside of them and said, you know what? Why don't I partner and pray and let's get together during the week before you get to and then let's... So they were being judged. What's interesting here is they were being judged by people that knew them, that were a part of the church, that were a part of what was happening there. Many of them were Jewish, and so they were looking at it from a very theological perspective, and they were saying they are uneducated and untrained. Now, why is this significant here? You've got to get that everybody was looking at them and saying, they have no right to this. They shouldn't be doing this. There's no way that this could be coming out of them because they aren't of, you fill in the blank. But then it says, they marveled. Whew. We don't mean Marvel Comics. We mean like the biblical word, they marveled. Church, I have a picture that people in Madison County are going to marvel at what God is doing in the life of AFC as a church, but also in the life of the people. And they realized, now here's the key of all today, and here's where we've got to get, it gives me chills to think about. Meaning the people that said they're uneducated, they're not trained, they shouldn't be doing it, They turned their statement around, said, "We marveled," and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Whew. So no matter your education, no matter your training, no matter your years at a profession, people are going to know if you've been with Jesus or not. Whew. People are going to know that you, people that were the naysayers, turned around and said, "But it's obvious they have been with Jesus." See, the question today, is it obvious that you have been with Jesus? See, if you've been with Jesus, then the pre and the is possible. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I've been amazed at organizations that don't stand with the principles that we stand for and have turned around and said, "Here." And I have gone home and said, "Honey, now look up." And we look it up and we're like, "Well, yeah, they don't believe what we believe." But you know what? We serve the God of the universe. So if he wants to use resources from outside of his kingdom, guess what he's going to do? He's going to use it. See, we serve a God that if we'll just start believing, if we'll start, you're going to marvel at. You're going to say, "Well, wait a minute, I asked and they said." You're going to marvel at when you stand before someone and they pull you into and you say, "Not today." They're going to say, "Well, yesterday, that's not who I am today. Well, yesterday you let this, that's not me today. Well, yesterday you weren't able, that's not me today." And it's not going to be me anymore. And then they're going to look at you and say, "Whoa, something has happened. Something should be happening," to where other people are like, "How can this be? You aren't A, B, and C." Let's just be real. Outside of Dr. Branson, who in here really can say that they're theological experts, right? But do we need to be? God bless for them, right? But there's something here that tells us that the people around them said that they realized. Whew. Imagine your coworker saying, I realize there's something about you that's different, and I can't put my finger on it." And then you say, "Well, I can put it on it for you. It's Jesus." And I love the last part of that scripture, because you know they were coming after him, right? You know the enemy's always coming after you. Have you woken up to that yet? A fresh awakening is realizing that he's after you as well. It's not coincidence that Pastor Gary's having. No, because he's after us. It's just not a coincidence. The enemy doesn't like him. Why? Because things are happening because of him for the kingdom. See, if you're not in a battle right now, then check out what's going on. Check out who you're with, who you're speaking about, who you're living for. Because this should just be the scripture that describes us. So let's ask ourselves this question today. What do others say your signs and wonders are? Now listen here. As a pastor, you could line everybody up and there'll be 18 different categories. He's a this, he's a that. Oh, well, he's on. You can get a card one week that's like, "You're doing a great job." And then the next day you get the call that says nobody. I mean, it's just, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about today is when you get with Jesus, what is he saying about your, when he came to you and said, "It's time," what is he saying to you right now? What does it look like to him? What did your praises this morning look like to him? That's your gift. Your praises are an offering. If you don't like praise and worship, then that's heaven. In fact, read Revelation. It's like a domino effect, just the opposite way. It starts in the middle, and then there's a call and a kneel and a call and a kneel, and then it's like, whew. Imagine those moments. How do we get there? we become full of grace and power, which only comes through knowing Jesus. That's a fresh awakening. That's a fresh work. And church, Stephen and his life is not unattainable. In fact, his life and his example is for us to say, okay, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to get with you. And they will know you by knowing me. Let's pray. God, today, our prayer is that there will be a fresh awakening in our lives. God, I pray today if there's something in us, I pray today if there's something in me that's keeping that from happening, God, that you would make it evident. We ask today, Lord, that you would scan and search and move in our hearts today, that we would call on your power and your strength. And God, I ask today, Lord, that where we don't have grace, that you would show us. Where we don't have mercy, will you show us? Where we wouldn't be one of the seven, show us why. God, would you show us? Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your plans. Show us your ability. Show us what we're worth to you. Show us the worth that we have in the kingdom. And today we ask that you would bring a fresh awakening. That today as we go out, that we would evaluate, that we would scan, that we would understand, and that we would have the same thoughts that Stephen had. We love you, Lord. And we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being a part. If you want to be prepared, keep reading Acts 6 and 7.